Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
The North American Menopause Society recently published a report that was looking into non-hormonal management of menopause-associated vasomotor symptoms. And if you don't know what that is, that's hot flashes, night sweats, things that happen in your body. I'm in perimenopause. All of you listeners know that. I talk about it all the time. And my guest today is Dr. Diana Bittner. She's board certified in obstetrics and gynecology and a certified menopause practitioner. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bittner. So first, I'd like to start by asking you, tell us about those things we're going through, the hot flashes, you know, the night sweats. What are these things?
Hey, Melanie, how I think about it, I'm very common sense person, and I have to think about the physiology to understand something. So how I explain it is that a hot flash is your body's way of cooling off. So in our brain, we have a thermostat, just like the thermostat in your studio, and it monitors our temperature. And if we get too hot, our body needs to cool off, and if we get too cold, we need to heat up. So a hot flash is simply your air conditioning coming on. And when we shiver, it's our heat coming on. And our thermostat keeps track of our temperature. So what happens when we lose estrogen, let's say right before a period in perimenopause or after menopause when our ovary doesn't make estrogen anymore, then our thermostat gets very sensitive. And so instead of having a 4-degree comfort zone, we have a 0.4-degree comfort zone. Right? So
wow.
We get hot easy, we get cold easy. Many women in menopause will say, I'm always a little too hot, I'm always a little too cold. And when women choose to take estrogen, for example, it widens that comfort zone back out again. And so then they're not hot flashing and night sweating at the, you know, by putting on an extra sweater or, you know, a partner rolling close in bed and it heats up. You know what I'm saying? So that thermostat just gets really sensitive.
Wow, what a great explanation. As you say, it's very common sense, and you explain it so well. And Dr. Bittner, I'm an exercise physiologist, and I am on my treadmill ad infinitum. I'm always on there. And
good,
I feel lucky because I'm not experiencing what all my girlfriends right now, and I went to high school with this group of girls, and some of them are just, it's alarming, some of those hot flashes. So we're all talking about the remedies and estrogen and black cohosh and all these things. So I don't want to go on estrogen.
Well, estrogen is safe for many people, so perhaps that's a whole other conversation. But I think, you know, one of my professional missions is I want women to know their science-based options. And we have science-based options, for example, estrogen. And for many women, it's very safe. And we know more and more who can take it, who can't. But it's also nice to have other options. For example, I see many patients with all different kinds of cancer. Some women can take estrogen if they choose. Some women can't. So it's so important that I have a lot of tricks up my sleeve. And again, when I can't figure something out, I go back to the physiology. So when I think about, for example, the data that says exercise doesn't help women with hot flashes, it can increase it. Well, if you look at another study that was just done, women who are overweight, exercise causes more hot flashes. Women who are normal or underweight, exercise doesn't cause increased hot flashes. You know, having an extra layer of fat, an extra 5-10 pounds even, it's like wearing a sweater we can't take off.
Sure.
And if our thermostat is really sensitive and we're going to flash at 0.4 degrees over 98.6, then of course that extra layer is going to make us hotter quicker. And you know from exercise physiology, I actually found a couple papers in the exercise physiology literature, is that when we're hypohydrated, our muscles get hotter quicker.
Oh,
so
yes.
When women are not drinking enough water, they're more likely to have a hot flash because their muscles heat up quicker.
See, so, and that makes so much sense.
Doesn't
and
it?
Because our body's cooling systems and our cooling mechanisms require that kind of hydration. And they
exactly.
require that we do this thing and not wear that extra 15-pound sweater that you're talking
exactly.
about.
Like
so give us some
off.
Of the tricks up your sleeve. Okay, so we've talked about exercise and the varied differences between that. Sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't, but whatever. I still will stick to it. Give us some of your tips and tricks for women going through these things.
Happy to, but quickly to talk about the NAMS position statement. So Dr. Mackey in Chicago, actually, she chaired the position statement and looked at randomized controlled trials that look at non-hormonal management of menopause. And so in the literature, what works consistently for large groups of women and what doesn't work? And we know, for example, that cognitive behavioral therapy can work because it reduces the stress response. And for example, adrenaline can make the hot flash happen, the air conditioning go off, even if we're really not that hot. You know, we know that if we get instantly stressed or we're, you know, startled, perhaps that adrenaline can cause a hot flash. So we know that people who are coping better, they have fewer unresolved issues, they have less stress, they have less response to a hot flash, you know, and it's a good cycle.
Interesting, because cortisol really can play havoc, and when you're stressed and it's released, boy, this is just another, you know, nail in that little hormone's coffin. So give us some of your more tricks, because these are such short segments, and what a great topic. It's such a great topic.
Oh,
so tell us what you tell your patients.
So in terms of other medications, the paroxetine salt, it's related to the brain chemical medicines, the antidepressants, but it works by telling the thermostat to chill out. So if people are really stressed, using up other brain chemicals, low estrogen causes low brain chemicals, it causes that thermostat to trip more often. So medicines like paroxetine or medicines like Lexapro works the best of all the medicines, the SSRIs, so that helps. And I have some patients who need a medicine called gabapentin. It's an old-fashioned anti-seizure medicine. It makes people sedated, but if it's a nice end of the line, nothing else works, it can help with hot flashes.
Yikes, it does make you sedated, that neurotic.
Yeah,
yikers.
It's not great.
Okay, go on.
But for some women. So what the statement paper said that doesn't work, and again, this is looking at scientific studies, randomized control studies, so consistently in a large basis, what they said doesn't really work are things like exercise, yoga, breathing, relaxation, avoiding triggers, acupuncture, over-the-counter herbs. And, you know, in a large study of women, we know these don't consistently show results. And a lot of us who treat, you know, I'm a certified menopause practitioner, and people can find menopause practitioners in their area. They just have to go to our website, menopause.org, and find somebody in your area who's certified. But we all know that these methods do work, but it's hard to study. So if I have a patient who avoids wine, it might not help avoid a hot flash if she just had French fries, white bread.
That's right. There's
didn't
so
drink
many.
Her water. Completely
there's so many variables.
And 40 pounds overweight. Yeah.
That's right. So, the variables, Dr. Bittner, are also because adherence and dropout rate, adherence, all of these different things.
Yeah.
Now, in just this last minute, what about phytoestrogens? What about, you know, we were told for years to stay away from soy and it grows things and blah, blah, blah. And now it was part of this paper. It was part of this discussion.
Yeah, so this is
discussion.
The deal. It's equal. So us, especially us women who are not of Asian descent, not raised on a soy-based diet, more than half of us do not convert soy to equal. And so we have estrogen receptors in the thermostat that if they're turned on, they tell the thermostat chill out and have a wide comfort zone. So we need this isoflavone to bind to the receptor, right? Most of us women who are not raised on a soy diet, we cannot convert it to equal. And equal is the bioactive isoflavone that binds to the receptor to reduce the hot flash. So if we just take soy, we can be taking buckets of it, and it's not going to do anything. It's just a waste of money. So now they've broken it down, and some companies have made the equal isolate. And the equal isolate does work well as compared to estrogen. Not as good, but it can work as well. And if
now you only have about 30 seconds, Dr. Bittner,
right,
because, you know, just touch very quickly on black cohosh and some of the herbal treatments people hear about, because those
if
were mentioned
somebody
too.
Says it works, I'm not going to tell them it doesn't, but randomized controlled trials where they do their best to control for every other factor, it doesn't consistently work. And we don't really know how it works. So basically, I tell people, it's not going to hurt you. It might help. If it works for you, great. But do everything else. The success is based on a healthy lifestyle. Drink your water, stay off the sugar, keep the weight off, and be like you and that 20% of women who do not have significant symptoms that cause distress. And if you're in that group, you're probably making really good choices.
Yeah, I probably just gave myself a big can of horror saying that too, because now I'm going to probably have a wicked hot flash and night sweats tonight. But this is Melanie Coles Health Radio. We're live every Monday through Friday at 12 Eastern on RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio, or the free TuneIn Radio app. Thanks for listening, and stay well.